भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 86. Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra, Texts 2 and 3. Sri Shuka Vacha Arjuna Stirta Yatrayam Arjuna Stirta Yatrayam Payatannavanim Prabhu Payatannavanim Prabhu Gata Prabhasam Ashrinam Gata Prabhasam Ashrinam Matuleyim Saatmana Matuleyim Samatmana Duryodhanaya Ramastam Duryodhanaya Ramastam Dasyatiti Nachapare Dasyatiti Nachapare Thalipsu Sayatir Bhutva Thalipsu Sayatir Bhutva Tridandi Dwarakam Magat Tridandi Dwarakam Magat Sri Shuka Vacha Arjunastirtha Yatrayam Payantan Navanim Prabhu Gatta Prabhasam Ashrinon Matuleyim Saatmana Duryodhanaya Ramastam Dasyatiti Nachapare Thalipsu Sayatir Bhutva Tridandi Dwarakam Magat Wandering Avanim The Earth Prabhu The Great Lord Gata Having Gone Prabhasam To Prabhasa Ashrinath, heard. Matuleyim, uncle's daughter. Sa, he. Atmana, his. Duryodhanaya, to Duryodhana. Rama, Lord Balaram. Tam, her. Dashyati, intends to give. Iti, thus. Na, not. Cha, and. Apare, anyone else. Tat, her. Lipsu, desirous of obtaining. Saha, he, Arjuna. Yati, a sannyasi. Bhutva, becoming. Tridandi, carrying a triple staff. Dwarakam to Dwaraka. Agat went. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, while traveling far and wide, visiting various holy places of pilgrimage, Arjuna came to Prabhash. There he heard that Lord Balaram intended to give his maternal cousin Subhadra to Duryodhana in marriage, and that no one else approved of this plan. Arjuna wanted to marry her himself, so he disguised himself as a renunciant, complete with triple staff, and went to Dwaraka. Arjuna's plan for obtaining Subhadra as his wife may have seemed unconventional, but he was not acting without encouragement. In fact, Lord Krishna was his prime co-conspirator. And in Dwarka, most of the members of the royal family, especially Vasudev, were unhappy about giving their favorite daughter to Duryodhana. Om magyana timnandasya gananjana salakaya shakshu malitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha namo om vishnupadaya krishna prasadale shrimati bhaktivedanta swami niti namne namaste sarasati devi gauravani pacharine nivisesa sunyavadi pasucha deshatharine. So in the Bhagavatam or in the Shastra, there are many stories that emphasize the strong and powerful attraction between male and female. In fact, in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Rishabhdev, in his instruction to his son, said, Pumsa Shriya Mituni Bhavameta Tayo Mitu Ridaya Granti Aho Ato Griha Shetra Sutapta Vithai Janasya Mohayam Aham Amiti. He said that this strong attraction between male and female is actually what really tightens the heart knots within the heart. Because from this attraction, so many entanglement arises. The attraction for male and female, sometimes female is known also as Sri. Sri is opulence, but it also means expand. So from that attraction, so many things expanded in the form of children, relatives, friends, the whole social circle, house, vehicles, work and bank balance, and on, it goes on and on. So in this way, the living entity, the heart, knot within the heart, become tightened. You see, when the people get married, isn't it the tightened knot? The tying of the knot, heart knot. In this way, one become just fall into the illusion of aham amiti, I and mine. I'm this body, this expansion of my body. And people in this material, they go to great lengths just to fulfill this attraction. This whole world just centered around. Sometimes people say money is what makes the world goes round. Actually, it's this attraction that makes everything go around. Everything is just centered around this attraction between male and female. And that's what keeps expanding in this material world. And people go to great length. It's amazing what people is willing to go through just to fulfill this attraction. Sometimes people ask, how do I have determination? In determination, how do I get the determination? As Devamrita Maharaj said in one lecture, he said, determination is there. It's a matter of how we apply that determination. When one is devoid of knowledge of Krishna, that determination is applied in how to fulfill, to get sense gratification. People get up very early in the morning. I was surprised on the way down here. So many cars on the road. Everyone's driving to work. They have to get up early in the morning and go to work too. And then they get home late. Sometimes you're working at Gopal in the evening, people are coming at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I say, just finish work. You say, yeah, just finish work. They start early in the morning, they work until late in the night. And by the time you get home, right, it's just time to sleep. So there's determination there to get to feel the sense gratification. So it's just a matter of where we apply this energy, the determination. Here in this Parabharatam, this example is shown how Arjuna was going to great lengths just to marry Subhadra. Of course, as in the purport is stated, he was act. It's a very unconventional way But it was not that he was acting without any encouragement. In fact, he was encouraged by Krishna. Krishna understood his desire and Krishna encouraged him. Because Balaram wanted to marry Subhadra to Duryodhana. But Vasudev, the father, was not very inclined towards that. And the other family members, they were not very inclined to that, towards that decision. So they were supportive of Arjuna, trying by other means, by all means, to get the hand of Subhadra. And of course, Subhadra was also attracted to him. Later it's explained, Krishna was Arjuna was actually very, very handsome. So as he was attracted to Subhadra, Subhadra was also very attracted to him. After all, they are maternal cousins. So it seems like it's quite common, or not common, but at least it happens, these marriages between maternal cousins. But as far as paternal cousins goes, that is a no-no. I don't know the reason paternal cousins is no, but maternal cousins are right. Anyway, so you know the reasons? Yeah, his Kunti is the daughter, sister of Vasudev. So Subhadra is So here you see Arjuna taking on the dress of a renunciant. Actually, in the earlier part of Bhagavatam, when Indra also trying to stop the Rajasura sacrifices of was it King Prithu? He also took the dress of a sannyasi. And Prabhupada has given a few pretty heavy purport about all these forced renunciants. So how Indra actually started that kind of sampradaya. just putting artificially putting on the saffron robe, disguised as a renunciant, but actually the whole goal is just to get sense gratification. Prabhupada also often he tell in his childhood how his father's door was always open and people would come, they would dress as sannyasi and they'll come and Prabhupada's father would just feed them. And then after feeding them, they eating, they go to the corner and then they take out the bidi and they're smoking. So they are renunciant only during lunchtime. Lunchtime renunciant. They put on the dress of renunciant just to get fill up their belly. And also some in holy places they dress as renunciants just to get women. Sometimes these women go to holy places, they want to have a child sired by these holy people. I never understood that. When I read that, I just can't, difficult to come to terms with. Because if he's actually a renunciant, a holy person, why would he engage in an affair with a woman to get a child? Why would a woman think that this holy man would give me a child? I could never connect the two. So anyway, so in the Krishna book, Prabhupada explained that even during that time, the sannyasis, Tridanti sannyasis, is not something new. The Tridanti sannyasis, and there's a difference between the Tridanti sannyasi, the Vaishnava sannyas, and Ekadanda. The Mayavadis, they have just one danda, one staff, but the Vaishnava, they have three staff, representing surrender to Krishna by the body, mind, and words. And the sannyasi, they travel everywhere just to preach, to benefit the inhabitants of the land. And during the month of Chaturmasya, they usually stay in one place. Just to benefit the people of that area. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that when he was traveling South India. He was staying one place in the, I think the father of Raghunath Das, no, Raghunath, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's, I think. Right? Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was staying in the house of his father. And we read also in the case of Narada Muni, he benefited from taking the prasham of the also the sannyasis who were staying there during the Chaturmasya months. So during the Chaturmasya month, they stay in one place and they just engage in Krishna Katha, just discussing the topics of Krishna. And he has a great opportunity to serve them during that time. And by great fortune, he was able to taste the prasad that was left by them, and he got so purified. And they became Narada Muni. So this is actually the business of the sannyasis, to travel from place to place to preach. Of course, here Arjuna was taking the dress of a sannyasi to get the hand of Subhadra. Therefore, it explains very unconventional. So, but it just shows that this Bhagavad Gita series of stories and lessons to be learned, how one is willing to go to that extent to get what he wants. And we find out later when he kidnapped Subhadra, Balaram was so angry. Balaram was just almost going to get on the chariot to give chase. Of course, Krishna stopped him and explained the situation. But actually, Subhadra also wanted to marry Arjuna. So this kind of determination and attraction is actually very nicely exemplified in the life of Bhimamangataku. Often his example is used in regards to the attraction and also determination, how determination can take place. Bhimamangataku, he was actually born in a very well-to-do Brahmana family. He was well-educated and so on. But somehow, he was attracted to this prostitute called Chintamani. He had a wife, very nice family, children, all that, but he was attracted to this prostitute, Chintamani. And even one time, I think it was the death of his father, he just could not wait until the ceremony is over so he can go to see Chintamani. And he was so determined to see Chintamani, it was raining, it was storm, and he has to cross over this river. It was a very strong wave, and he had to swim across the river, hanging on to what he thought was a log, but actually was a dead body. In this way, he got across the river. And he had to go through the forest and in the dark. And finally, he came to the house of Chintamani, and it was locked. The courtyard was locked, and he climbed over the wall, hanging to the branches, which was actually a snake. he didn't think of that. He just completely focused, very, very focused. Climb over, drop on the other side, and all these thorns was getting cut. And finally they came to the door of Chintamani, knocked on the door. And Chintamani opened the door. And she was so surprised to see. And she said, "I got to see you, I got to see you. All the trouble I went through, I just came to see you." And Chintamani was just completely amazed, and she said, "For what you have gone through, all the endeavors and trouble you took to come to just see me, which is just a bag of blood and mucus and bones and stool and urine, if you apply the same determination to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have become a great devotee." And Bhimamangataku was awakened by that instruction. So he immediately offered his respect and he left. So later, even in his writing, he referred to Chintamani as his Shiksha Guru. As his guru, who showed him the path. So he was on his way to Vrindavan, to surrender to Krishna. And along the way, he met this young Brahmana and his wife, and again he was attracted to the wife of the Brahmana and started following them home. And the Brahmana received him very well in his home, was serving him, shanam and everything. But then the Brahmana noticed, he mentioned to his wife, he said, You know, this Brahma seems to want something. So let's find out what he wants, what can we can offer him. So he asked Bhimanga Thakur and said, what else can we offer you? My house, whatever is in my house, whatever possession I have, is all yours. So please ask. And unashamedly he asked, he said, I'm attracted to your wife. And the Brahmana said, okay. They went to the room. And he realized his mistake. And he asked the wife of the Brahmana, he said, Mother, can I borrow a pin from your hair? He took the pin and it just poked out his eyes. He thought, I'm trying to renounce, I'm trying to surrender to Krishna, but these eyes are giving me trouble. He's still attracted to the material forms. So therefore, he poked out his eyes and then he continued his journey to Vrindavan. That was how determined he was. We're not recommending anyone to just poke out your eyes if you have any attraction to the opposite sex. That just goes to show. But of course, Bhimanga Thakur became such an elevated devotee, he did not require these material eyes to see Krishna. He was sitting just outside Vrindavan, just chanting and performing his bhajans, and Krishna would come and supply him milk. So one time Krishna came and gave him a pot of milk. And he said, why are you fasting? Nobody fasts in this village. If anyone fasting, I will come and supply. So he's supplying him a pot of milk. And one day Bhimanga Thakur realized, this is not just an ordinary cow or boy, this is Krishna bringing me milk. So next time he came, he tried to catch him. He tried to catch over Krishna. And Krishna was jumping around. And Bhimanga Thakur said, he said, my dear Lord Krishna, you think you can run away from me? You just try. There's no way you can run away from me. Because you've nicely captured in my heart. So from attraction to a prostitute, by his determination and good instruction from Chintamani, he became such an elevated devotee that he was able to challenge Krishna. So you try to run away. He was so sure and so confident that he has Krishna captured in his heart. He dared Krishna to run away. So these are not to be imitated. Because if we say to Krishna, say, Krishna, you try to run away, Krishna will just walk away. But Bhimanga Thakur, he can do that. Now that's determination. The determination that he had towards the Chintamani, he applied that in devotional service and become elevated. So we all have determination. We all can look back at the things we really, really wanted, and we are determined to get it. So we apply the same determination in devotional service. Because the determination, the energy is either we apply it for sense gratification, or applying the attraction to fulfill the attraction between male and female, or we apply it to be attracted to Krishna. Because when one is attracted to Krishna, everything else pales in comparison. Krishna is the reservoir of all beauty. Krishna is the reservoir of all wealth, all strength, all knowledge, all renunciation, all fame. He's the source of all that. So none of the opulences we see in this world, whether it may be wealth or beauty or fame, knowledge, renunciation, strength, can compare to what Krishna has. Krishna was saying Bhagavad Gita, he described all the different opulences. He said, this is all just nothing but a spark of my splendor. Just a little spark of my splendor. So, it's only because we are not attracted to Krishna, that one is attracted to the material energy. And thinking that, oh, this is so beautiful, so attractive. And in this way, we rush towards it. It's just like a moth that flies. The moth sometimes flies towards the light, flies towards the fire, and then they get burned. In this way, we get burned all the time in this material. But the living entity in the material is very determined to keep trying. Puna puna chavita chavananam. Chewing the chew again and again and again and again. Trying to squeeze out some juice. Determined to succeed. Even though we fail so many times, so many lifetimes. How many lifetimes we have tried to succeed in this material world? In how many different forms? By the mercy of material energy, we have been given all variety, all opportunities to enjoy this material world. In different lifetimes, in different forms. And each time we fail. And then we take birth in another body and try again. We fail. Take birth again in another body and try again. Oh, you didn't succeed in this human form? Okay, try again as a dog. Try as a bird. Try as a fish. A lion, tiger. Or you didn't succeed as an Aussie? Okay, try as a Kiwi. Or try as a Chinese or Indian. Or whatever. You keep trying and you keep failing. So therefore, when we read Bhagavatam and we read all these stories, you hear sometimes great personalities. They also have this attraction. And how they overcome those attractions. But of course, in this case of Arjuna, it was not just an ordinary situation. After all, he was encouraged by Krishna to act in that way. But otherwise, people go through all great lengths just to fulfill their desires in this material world. And this way, the illusion of I and mine just becomes more and more tightened. Within the heart, the knot becomes tighter and tighter. And the solution that people try to come up with in this material is try to untie the knots one by one. But it's hopeless. It's so tight. Sometimes when the knot is tied so tight together and for so long, you don't even know where it begins and where it ends. They will try to untie the knot that has been there for a long, long, long time. It practically glued together everything. But that's what everyone is trying to do in this material world. Trying to find a solution to each and every little problem. Each and every single problem. And that's why they have so many different groupings, to so many different societies. Each one for this particular thing. And each time, again they fail. Because this solution is not just to untie each knot. The solution is to cut the knots of material attachment. That was how Alexander the Great did it. When he was traveling in his came to this village in town square. And there was a big group of people, they were trying to untie this knot. And they asked, Alexander, you are a great conqueror. Can you show us how to untie this knot? And he just got up from his horse, take out his sword, and just cut it. So one can cut off the knot of material attachment with the sword of knowledge. The transcendental sword of knowledge. Just cut right through, like a hot knife cutting through butter. Because transcendental knowledge is illuminating. Nations is darkness. Mode of ignorance is darkness. And it is only because of darkness that one do not see what is right and what is wrong. Illusion means darkness. discerning spirit. So is covered by mode of ignorance. He don't see what is right and what is wrong. And he's just fumbling along in the dark, trying to find his way along. But when one is illuminated by transcendental knowledge, then everything becomes clear. He gets the right perspective. He sees things as it is. He sees how everything is what they are and how they're related to one another. So this transcendental knowledge is the main duty of the sannyasi when they travel. They just distribute transcendental knowledge to enlighten the householders. That's the main business of the sannyasis when they travel. It's also described in the example of Sukadeva Goswami. He was wandering around like a mendicant, and he was just stopping just long enough in the house just to collect some milk. They have no business just to hang around. But they will stay if there's opportunity to give transcendental knowledge. And therefore in the previous time, during Vedic time, people were very much benefited by all these traveling mendicants who were able to give different kind of knowledge to them. They give transcendental knowledge. Very often they're also well-versed in astrology. They're well-versed in the medical science. So they were able to give all these different instructions to the householders so they can conduct their household affair nicely, properly, but at the same time making proper advancement in spiritual life. So that's actually the real gift of the Brahmanas, the gift of the traveling mendicants, to give transcendental knowledge. To free one from these hard knots of material existence. Otherwise, without the benefit of the cessation of the transcendentalists, then what is the hope for the people in general? There's no hope. And if we engage in preaching, how often we meet people that in very hopeless situation. Probably in Sankirtan you probably meet people all the time. How people just look at their life, they take a stick stock of their life and they see it's hopeless. Very hopeless situation. So this Krishna conscious movement actually gives hope to people. Give them hope. That yes, your life is hopeless as long as you engage in materialistic affairs. But there is hope because you are not this body. You are spirit soul. You are supposed to engage in spiritual activities. There is God. He is Krishna. And we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Especially for people who are completely immersed in materialistic life, when they're given this knowledge, when they're a bit receptive and they're given this very basic knowledge, they feel so uplifted. Immediately they feel very uplifted. And I mentioned before, that was what I experienced when I first read Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, how the soul cannot be killed. The soul is eternal, it cannot be destroyed by it cannot be cut by any weapon, it cannot be burned by fire, cannot be moistened by water, it just cannot be destroyed. When I read that, I felt so uplifted. I felt like a huge burden was removed from my shoulder. And I thought, wow. At that time, I remember I was traveling in northern Sweden. There's mountains and there's open space everywhere, and I shout out, "Wow, I'm invincible!" I thought, "Wow, this is far out," you know. And that was just beginning of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita when I read that. It was so uplifting. It was so and we forget, but actually when we preach to people, just giving them some basic knowledge. It's so uplifting for them. It's such a great gift. People go to so many great lengths trying to solve their problems in life. They mend the problem, they go to psychiatrists, they go to psychologists, they go this, oh, I have so many problems, I'm burdened by so much anxiety, I'm burdened by this and that, so many things. And they pay so much money, and it don't help. And some people have trauma, they go to this psychologist years after years after years, 5 years, 10 years, and they still haven't gone anywhere, haven't made much progress. I will just tell them, look, you don't have to worry about this body so much. Don't have to have all this, carry all this mental problem. You are a spiritual being. You're beyond all this. You're transcendental to all this. Forget about the material path you're following. Just try to follow the spiritual path. All your problems will be solved. Isn't such a relief? Such a great feeling. And then by following the spiritual path, as we get taste in Krishna consciousness, as we develop more and more knowledge, by surrender, by service, by chanting, our attraction for Krishna develops and increases more and more. And as our attraction for Krishna increases, our attachment to the material also decreases simultaneously. The more we become attracted to Krishna, the more we become distracted or unattracted to the material world. So much so that everything else pales in comparison. Everything else pales in comparison. Because Krishna means all attractive. When we are attracted to Krishna, what else is attractive in the material world? Nothing else. Therefore, we find in the Bhagavatam how even Maharaj Parikshit, he was able to just give up everything. Beautiful wife, a great kingdom, treasury full of wealth. He just gave it all up. Just to seek the answer to what are the duty of a person who is about to die. What should he hear, chant and remember? These were the main questions that Maharaj Parikshit asked Shukadev Goswami. What is the duty of someone who is about to die? And we are about to die. We don't know. We never know. I mean, just recently, who would have known? Like Kripa Sindhu Prabhu's father. Just came back from a walk, heart attack, bomb, gone. I was just speaking to him the other day, on Monday, he came to Crossway, and he was telling me he just went for a medical checkup a week before that. And was perfect. He was perfectly all right. Nothing wrong with him. And then 1 week later, he was gone. It's closer to home. I mentioned this. It's my daughter's school friend from the drama classes. Just 17 years old, when fall off a platform in Cheltenham, got knocked by a train, died. And she was just on her way to buy a present for her brother's birthday. She was there waiting for her mother to go together, and then just slip off the platform, bam. Who would know? Young girl, promising career as an actress, but gone. So we don't know. So actually, this question put by Maharaj Parikshit is applicable to everyone, because everyone is about to die. We don't know when we're going to die. So the main question asked, what is the duty of someone who is about to die? What should he hear, chant, and remember? And in fact, Shukadeva Goswami glorified him, praised him, and said, your question is very glorious, because the answer to this question is very beneficial to everyone. Not only to the one who is asking the question, but everyone who hears it. Because generally people are not interested in such questions and answers. Generally the question's answer is, oh, where can I get more money? Where can I get more sense gratification? Where can I get more sense gratification? Shukadeva Goswami says, Tasmat Bharata Savatma Bhagavat Tasmat Bharata Savatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shratavya Satatavyascha Smetavya Chetato Bayam. He said, therefore, one should hear, chant, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan, who is the Supreme Controller, Ishvara, Hari, who takes away all inauspiciousness. Because by such hearing, chanting, remembering, one can become free from all fear. So that's the real duty of a living entity, is to hear, chant, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one can become free from all fear. And as we hear and chant and remember Krishna more and more, then this powerful attraction between male and female will become slackened, become less and less. It's not by any other means. Not by any other means. It's only by when we surrender to Krishna, become attracted to Krishna, that we can break this bondage of the material world. It's very, very strong, this bondage, this attraction. So, thank you very much. And any comments or questions? Yes. Yeah, I mentioned in the beginning of the class, somehow in previous time maternal cousins are alright. But generally paternal cousins?
Not maternal cousins. Not maternal, because Subhadra is the daughter of Vasudev's
wife. Vasudev, yeah.
Yeah. And Arjuna is the son of Kunti. So it's not exactly a maternal connection.
Kunti is the sister of Vasudev.
Yes, yeah, sister of Vasudev.
Isn't that considered maternal?
No, because if is it because they have a different mother, and mothers are not related.
So in other words, maternal means just between sisters, the mothers and the sisters.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Father-in-law.
There's not a connection.
I think there was a mention here, the maternal.
Let's see what the definition of maternal means.
But then again, in India, sometimes they say, he's my brother. The brother can be just first cousins or second cousins. As long as there's no paternal relationship then. It's quite common, this is not the first. I think there are other instances also where there's such marriages was going on.
Maternal cousins would be my mother's sister. My aunt's children and my maternal cousins. So that relationship's not there, as I understand it.
But in this case, it's even closer. Because the sister, mother is a sister of the father. Vasudeva is father of Subhadra, and Kunti is the.
Subhadra's mother is not a relative. Mm. Unless she was a relative, we wouldn't know about that.
Yeah.
But
But then there's a relationship between the father on one side and the mother on the other side.
Yes.
Isn't that even closer?
No.
No?
No.
There you go.
Here's a question for you. Subhadra is, I think Hansel mentioned yesterday that Subhadra wasn't the same Subhadra that was in the prison house when Kamsa tried to kill her. Is that correct or not?
I never make that connection.
Huh?
It's always a question mark for me who the Subhadra is.
And Subhadra is the mother is not as Devaki is the wife of Vasudeva.
No.
That's a
Vasudeva have 8 daughters as well. Eight daughters.
Not to Devaki.
I don't know. You remember where? No, never come across that.
Yeah. Page mentioned that Manishwami has done a lot of research, but he hasn't found any.
Well, regarding Subhadra and the Duga.
It's quite clear that Subhadra is the yoga mind. The yoga mind just doesn't come as it's not the same person.
It's not the same person.
Because yoga mind is born from Yashoda. So it's Yashoda. What do you call it? Yoga mind's mother is Yashoda. Whereas Subhadra is faster as well.
You got it? So our scholars are still trying to find out. Okay. Oh, that was funny. I never figured that one out. Ooh, Subhadra really is enough. Because I never really heard it from anyone. And Srila Prabhupada key.